And now it's time for the bullpen.
OMG, the bullpen.
It's the bullpen, everybody.
Mercy me, the bullpen.
Go team, go team.
Yes.
All right, welcome into the bullpen here on the Aggie Radio Sports Podcast Network. As always, I am Ethan Chadwick, and with me, as always,
is
except
Evan
when
Hall.
He just decides he isn't going to show up, is Evan Hall.
if I can make it out of bed that day.
Well, no, I'm not worried about the mornings because I'm less likely to show up than you are for that. I'm talking about meetings, man. Meetings.
That's true. If I can wake up out of bed in the afternoon. Show up.
Yeah. Anyway, I want to thank you guys for tuning in. To get things going, we're going to do some news. We actually are going to do a doomsday this week, so check out that. And then, you know, just our usual stuff, Wall of Shame, and our main event will involve the World Series and NFL picks and maybe a little bit on the beginning of the NBA. So we will get there in a little bit. But to start out, Evan, what do you have for news?
Mostly NBA. It's gotten
mostly NBA. You go to NBA. I was expecting you to talk about what's happened so far in the World Series just briefly.
Well, yeah. I mean, the World Series now tied up 1-1, which I think we'll get into a little bit later. But Cubs offense finally waking back up after a terrible game one to even the series, and they'll go back to Chicago for 3 games. So turning into an exciting series.
Yeah,
so.
If it had not gone well in game two, we probably would be hearing a rant from Evan today about pack of frauds, trade them all. But, yeah, so, I mean, they are 1-1, and we are going to talk a little bit more in depth about that later on in the main event, but yeah. thought we'd at least bring it up right now because...
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't... Yeah. Evan's just... I'm going to not talk about the thing I care about the most.
Well, it's just there's exciting NBA stuff going on now that the
there is. The NBA season did start on the same night as Game 1 of the World Series. The Cavs hung their banner for the first time ever. So that was exciting for the city of Cleveland.
And then added on by just routing the Knicks.
Yeah, so. And also, I mean, that same day they had the Indians taking on the Cubs in the World Series in, like, just, you know, across the parking lot.
And the Browns weren't playing. So
yeah,
it was a great night.
Greatest day in Cleveland sports history. They didn't have to worry about the Browns losing, and then they won game one pretty good fashion. And they also beat up on the Knicks, as you said. Yeah. So they get to hang the banners and also win game one of the World Series, which they hadn't been to in a long time. Not as long as the Cubs, but it's still been a long time. And so, pretty good day for Cleveland sports. Yeah. But yeah, as you mentioned, the Cavs did win that one pretty easily. And LeBron James, if you look on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, it's all over. There's this awesome video of LeBron having like a fast break dunk, where he is carrying the banner and jumps up all the way up into the rafters and hangs the banner and comes down and dunks the ball. It's super funny, in my opinion. Yeah.
But then also in the West Conference, we've got your Spurs, absolutely
they
taking care of the Warriors.
So awesome. The Spurs won 129-100.
Yeah. Which we will... Which I think we'll get in later with some of the Wall of Shame stuff, too. So,
yeah, but no, it was funny because, it wasn't even close the whole game. Like, the Spurs were up by, like, 30 for the entire second half, basically. And so, I mean, they did awesome. Steph Curry, he still got 26 points. He was not great from the three-point line. It's 3-for-10. And Durant scored 27. He only took 3 threes, which was interesting. And Klay Thompson went 1-for-6 and 5-for-13 from the field. So, really, defensively, the Spurs showed kind of what you need to do to beat the Warriors. And granted, yes, this was the first game, and they should bond better together.
But you got to start off right, though.
Well, I mean, Yeah.
I mean it would help to start off.
They changed a lot this offseason, which they haven't for a while. But still, they got beat up, and there's not much positive you can say about that other than, you know, they got to put the team on the court together for the first official time. But yeah, Durant had a double-double, as did Draymond Green. I couldn't remember his first name for a second there. And I was like, wait, who was that? Just funny because, like, I'm really not a Draymond Green fan because of how he is. One notable thing about that game also was they were the Spurs' second-leading scorer behind – well, I guess third-leading scorer behind Kawhi Leonard and LaMarcus Aldridge, who both had awesome games, was a second-year player. And this guy, like, I watched him play last year when the Spurs came to play the Jazz, and I went to that game. And Jonathan Simmons, you know, he was a rookie last year, and he just didn't do much of anything right in that game. So I was pretty low on him, but he played really well in this game. He blocked Curry from behind, kind of the LeBron-esque block from behind at the rim. So that was awesome. But he had 20 points. And so, you know, maybe he'll be a good player for the Spurs this year. I'd be excited about that. Also, on Tuesday, the Jazz lost their opener against the Trailblazers. However, they were without Derek Favors and Gordon Hayward. So there was some exciting play.
A little bit more leniency allowed for that than having Kevin Durant on your team.
Yeah. But they had great performances by Joe Johnson, who put up 29 points, went off in the second half. Rodney Hood had 26. George Hill, in his debut, had 19. And Gobert had another double-double, 12 and 14. Did an awesome job. I mean, those guys were the main scorers. There was some other points spread around, but yeah. So without Favors and without Hayward, they were they barely lost to the Trailblazers. I mean, if you look at the score, it's a 9-point thing, but some of that was free throws at the end. So it was a little bit closer than that before that. But hats off to Damian Lillard, who scored 39 points and had 9 rebounds and 6 assists. And a Weber State alum. So he's lived here in Utah. And he's a really good player. He played really well, as did CJ McCollum. And then also, off the bench, Alan Crabb had a pretty good game as well. So that was pretty fun. Obviously, a bunch of games yesterday. I don't care as much about those ones.
What I also forgot to mention, though, in the NFL, we've had a tie.
Yeah.
A 6-6 tie with the Seahawks and...
thanks for ruining my wall, Shane.
Well, that's fine. You can still get into it. I'm just...
Oh, I'm still going to get into it. But yeah, the Seahawks and Cardinals had a tie if you weren't paying attention. But I figure if you're listening to this, you probably were paying attention.
Which wasn't that... I think that might have been the same day as game one.
No, that was Monday.
That was the day before. But that was a crazy weekend. Tying an NFL game.
Actually, that was Sunday night. Sorry. That was Sunday night.
Okay, yeah. So like
my Broncos played on Monday night, and they absolutely thrashed the Houston Texans.
So that whole weekend, you know, we've got a tie in the NFL, and then the Cleveland Indians and Chicago Cubs in a World Series. It's a bizarre...
It's the end of times.
It's a bizarre time.
But, yeah, so... So on Monday night, I'm just going to bring this up because it was cool. The Broncos played against the Texans, and they absolutely just beat up the Texans. You know, it was 27-9, but honestly, it wasn't even that close. Credit to Brock Osweiler. He got rid of the ball pretty quickly, so they didn't actually get a sack on him. There was a team sack for when he couldn't catch a snap and had to dive on it, but, you know, apart from that, he did all right overall. I mean, he only threw for 121 yards or something, so that wasn't very good. He largely got contained, but credit to him for not getting sacked because, I mean, he knows very well how fast the Denver defense penetrates and gets sacked. Yeah. So he got rid of the ball pretty quick, but he was inaccurate as hell. he was awful as far as his passing went. I mean, and he only got the ball to DeAndre Hopkins twice, I think. Twice or three times for like 10 yards. So not a great performance by him, including the first, well, I mean, maybe it's not the first ever, but the first in recent memory time when someone threw a fumble.
Nice.
Because what happened was he was going to go past the ball, and the ball slipped out of his hand before he started moving it forward, and then he like pushed it forward with his hand, and so it looked like he was like it was just slipped out of his hand as he was throwing it. It slipped out before he started throwing it, so it was a fumble, and it was recovered by the Broncos. But a lot of people will complain and say that it was that not an incomplete pass, but it really was. I mean, initially I thought it was too. I was like, I'm surprised they're not blowing the whistle, but you know, looking at the replay, and apparently they saw it in real time. The refs did, because they called it on the field, a fumble. And, like, he's going back to pass it, and it just, like, slips out, and he just ends up pushing it with his hand and fumbles it forward. it was a bizarre play. And I tweeted out after that went down. I was like, Brock Osweiler is a special kind of quarterback.
Well, have you seen the GoFundMe page to buy out his contract?
Yeah, there was some Houston fan started a GoFundMe page to raise money to buy out Osweiler's contract to get him out of there. And honestly, I feel like there's some overreaction on that end. I mean, hasn't been great yet or anything. He's probably not worth the money they paid him, but he hasn't been completely awful. He's still probably better than what you had before.
And I mean, the Texans, at least for a while, were doing all right.
Yeah, I mean, they're still 4-3. So. So it's not like
they're not the Browns.
So. They're not the Browns. That's correct statement there. So I mean, they really haven't been completely awful. He's had some decent games. He's just showed that he's still inexperienced and isn't quite good enough to handle a really good defense yet. And they had to have known that going in. I'm sure that the organization isn't worried. The fans, probably. I mean, watching that game, I was glad that, you know, the Broncos didn't keep him, because they were able to use money on other players that I think were more important to the team. And on top of that, Trevor Siemian's played pretty well. I mean, he hasn't been Matt Ryan or Tom Brady or anything like that as far as his production stats and everything, but he's a pretty good player, and he's done a good job. So I've been happy about that. But anyway, yeah, so that's something. Another thing I want to bring up right now is that College Game Day will be in Salt Lake City this week. So you can go check out College Game Day, just, you know, an hour and a half away. I mean, I'm thinking about going. I probably won't actually go, just because I'll be lazy and won't want to get up. But it's an opportunity. If anyone wants to, they can just go check it out. It's going to be at Utah, so that should be pretty sweet. So that's going on. And Utah is taking on Washington. And Washington is number 4 in the country right now. Utah is number 17. Both have won 7 games. Utah does have 1 loss. Washington does not. And they've been really good. And I'm just going to say, I think Washington's going to win this one. But I hope it's a fun game. Because, I mean, Utah showed that they're a really good program. I mean, that's another thing I need to bring up. their running back last week was ridiculous.
Really?
Yeah, did you not hear about this?
No, apparently not.
Okay, so I'm going to bring up the stats on this. So, Utah running back Joe Williams, who quit football last month, returned this last week because Utah's had a ton of injuries at running back. But he apparently had quit and decided he wasn't going to play more, but they brought him back. And he started for them last week. And he ran for 332 yards and 4 touchdowns. And the Utes beat UCLA 52-45 last Saturday. Just an absolutely ridiculous performance by him. 29 carries, 332 yards, and 4 touchdowns. That's over 10 yards a carry.
Jeez.
And the thing about it is, like, a couple of weeks ago, the guy wasn't even on the team because he quit. But they brought him back, and he had the game of his life.
It's like, you sure you want to quit? Because, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, they had, like, their four other running backs that they had were injured. And so they were, like, running on fumes as far at the running back position because everyone was injured. And so they convinced him to come back, or maybe he decided to come back because he saw how much they would need him. And he just had an awesome game, so props to him. As it stands, Utah is currently leading the Pac-12 South at 7-1, 4-1 in conference. Colorado, surprisingly, is second with 4-1 in the conference, 6-2 overall. And USC is third at 4-3. So, I mean, and that's just the South. Obviously, the North is a different story. Washington leads that one at 7-0, 4-0 in conference. And then, surprisingly, second is Washington State. Because Washington State had a rough beginning of the year. And I feel like they probably did last year, too. But, like, this was a team that I thought would beat Boise State because I was like, yeah, they're a good enough team, like, that they can get it done and everything. But, you know, the first 2 weeks, they were just bad. Hmm. You know, they lost Eastern Washington. And then they lost to Boise State. And then they started turning it around. They beat up on Idaho, which isn't really hard to do. They don't have a great football team right now. And then they beat Oregon pretty handily. And then they beat up on Stanford. And then they beat UCLA and then Arizona State. So surprisingly, they went from 0-2 to now 5-2, and they've played pretty well. And that's just a side story. I mean, I got off on a little bit of a tangent. I just wanted to bring that up because I feel a little bit more justified by my pick of them against Boise State before the season because – you know, they had a slow start, and I think that was the reason why they didn't win, because I'd say if they played now, they would probably beat Boise State. And that's just my opinion. They've just been playing really well, especially on offense. Defensively, I mean, they're not great. It's more of like a shootout, like the Big 12, where whichever team has the ball last will win. But I wanted to bring it up because I feel more justified that I said that they would beat Boise State before the season. Because now they look like the team I thought they would be, actually even better than I thought they would be, because I didn't expect them to play as well as they have against Pac-12 competition. On that note, though, what's up with Oregon? 0-4 in the Pac-12, 2-5 overall.
My, how the mighty have fallen.
For sure. I mean,
or at least the once mighty Oregon.
Yeah, I mean, they were really good a few years ago. Obviously, they're competing for national championships with Mariota and they had a little bit of a drop-off after he left with whoever the quarterback was. But they've dropped off a ton this year. But it doesn't really bother me that much. But anyway, that was kind of more than I really wanted to get into. I guess we will briefly say that Utah State was able to win last Fresno? Saturday against Fresno. It was a late game, so you may or may not have stayed up for it. But they ended up winning that game. Didn't cover the spread, though. Almost. 1 point off. So the spread was 19 points, and they won 38-20. So really close. This week they're taking on – we got San Diego State tomorrow night, and we're recording this on Thursday morning. So if you listen to this on a Friday, then it will no longer be tomorrow night. It would be today. But anyway
– that's how time works.
Friday at 6 o'clock on CBS Sports Network. Currently, we're a 5.5 point underdog, which I'm surprised by, and we'll get into this a little bit more. I guess we won't. We'd have to do a different podcast, but
that's
we'll talk about it for a second when we're doing our picks. But anyway, we're taking on San Diego State. But yeah, we'll talk about that when we do our picks after the main event, or maybe before the main event. Anyway, yeah, we're going to move on to the Wall of Shame. And here in the Wall of Shame, we're just going to jump into it and let Evan go because he wanted to talk about it earlier. Or, I mean, he didn't want to talk about it too much earlier, so.
Yeah. But I got a couple of NBA entries for this week's Wall of Shame.
Who you got?
So first up, we got the Warriors. I mean, obviously, it's just game one of their season, but this was kind of an awful game for them. And I think everybody was all hyped because Kevin Durant was going to be at least his regular season debut in a Spurs jersey. But this was just a methodical victory for San Antonio. I mean, you look at just how awful of a night it was for Golden State. 21% from the free throw. I mean, not free throw, three-point range.
That's what you got to do?
After, you know, this team built its, like, built part of its weapon on those long shots. It's basically a 1-in-5 from behind the three-point line for a team that, like I said, had kind of built a lot of their success on those monster shots from far down.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. That's kind of been the focal point of their offense. Obviously, they want to say that that's not all they do, and they do get some layups and stuff. But honestly, if they aren't shooting well from the three-point line, they don't adjust well and switch to something else. And that's exactly what the Spurs like wanted them to do. They like wanted them to take bad shots. Be like, look, you can go for it all you want. I mean, we'll let you shoot those. We're going to defend you. And when you're not making them, we'll let you keep shooting. And they just keep shooting, and that's why they lost in the NBA Finals, and that's why they lost against the Spurs. And, I mean,
well, it's honestly, like they're figuring them out. I mean, that's the thing, is teams, at least some teams, are starting to figure the Warriors out now.
Yeah. But, I mean, if they're really hot, like, and they're just, like, making it over top of defense, like, there's nothing you're going to be able to do about it. However, that's not going to be the case most nights. Like, if they're open, they'll make them most of the time. But if you're contesting them, they're not going to be quite as accurate. And barring those nights when they just can't miss no matter what, you know, they're, if people are able to defend them well from the three-point line, they're not going to win. And that's really the case about it. And that's why, you know, even though I expect this team to win a lot of games, I don't expect them to hit the numbers that they hit last year as far as wins. I don't expect them to get to 73 or even 70 wins. I would say it would probably be safe to say about 63 or 64 wins. But, like, this team, they've got a lot of talent, but I just feel like if you take away the three, they're not near as deadly. I mean, obviously they're not near as deadly, but they are very beatable if they are not shooting the three well, if you're defending it well.
Well, yeah, and then also, you know, Warriors got 23 fewer rebounds than the Spurs too. So it's not even, you know, they're not even getting the ball back to set themselves up either. I mean,
The Spurs had 20 offensive rebounds. Like, well, over 20, I think. They showed a stat almost the end of the game where it was like 20 something offensive rebounds, and they had like 24 second chance points, as opposed to like 2 offensive rebounds for the Warriors and like 3 points off second chance points. And that's the thing about it, is like they sacrificed their size inside and their ability to rebound in order to get Durant. Like they lost a couple different guys that were key to them, particularly Andrew Bogut. You know, they gave up their inside presence so that they could pay Durant and get him to go there. And that really, to me, is going to backfire, especially in the playoffs. I mean, I still expect them to win a lot of games, like I said, but I don't expect them to be as good as they were last year, because they're not as balanced.
Yeah.
They have more scoring, but if the scoring is off from shooting, then they're going to struggle.
Well, yeah, and then it's not, and then you also look that, we go back to the fact that the team, that other teams are starting to figure them out. I mean, the Warriors never won a quarter in this game. Like, not even a quarter did they obviously get more points than the Spurs. And the last time, the last time in this game in which the Warriors led was by 4 with about 4 minutes left in the first quarter. I mean, that was the last time they were winning. I think it was like the only time they were winning, and it would be one of the last times that they even got close in this game. So it was just, you know, a pretty comprehensive letdown, I think, for them. And obviously, yeah. It's just the first game of the season, and I don't, I'm not.
Yeah,
and I'm not saying they're garbage because they're clearly not. But
yeah, it'll be kind of a similar situation to when the Big Three in Miami got together. They kind of didn't play all that well together at first, and they kind of got their mojo towards the end of the season. It'll probably be something similar to Golden State, except that I don't think they'll have. Yeah, I don't think they'll be untouchable in the playoffs because you'll have teams that will be able to play them defensively.
Well, especially if they meet the Spurs in the playoffs. I mean,
yeah, and I really hope that happens. And I'm glad to see that the Spurs took another step forward. You know, particularly Kawhi Leonard took a big step forward because he dominated that game.
35 points.
35 points, and defensively he was just shutting guys down. It was awesome. But, yeah, I want to bring back to the stat. The Spurs had 21 offensive rebounds.
Yeah.
I mean, that's insane. You know, the Warriors did have 8. It was a few more than I thought. But still, 21-8.
Yeah.
And that was a big difference in the game because at the time they showed that graphic, you know, that was about the difference was 20 points, like 24 points or something. And it was like 20 offensive rebounds, 24 second chance points, and that was the difference in the game. So really I think that's going to be something that's going to haunt Golden State a lot is rebounding because they're built to be on the perimeter, and so they're not going to be in position to rebound. And they're also giving up some size on that front. So, yeah, it was an extensive wall of shame that ended up being an analysis of how the team is going to do and play and everything. But 129-100 on your debut, on your home court, against once you have your big four or whatever.
Against a conference rival.
Yeah. And really the team that I think would have beat them last year in the playoffs, and I think that the Spurs would have beat the Cavs if they had met in the finals. But, you know, the Spurs didn't play well in that series against the Thunder, and, you know, because of that, they disqualified themselves, and so I can't really make the argument they would have won. I feel like they would have, but there's no way to know, and they didn't make it happen when it counted, so that's on them.
Yeah.
But I think that they'll be really good this year. You know, they won't even take a step back with the loss of Duncan because Pau Gasol is going to step right in and play as good, or if not even a little bit better than Duncan played last year. And Duncan's still around. He might end up being on the coaching staff for the Spurs at some point. I don't think he officially is at the moment, but he could. But, yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, in addition to that, we also have, at least from me, from my wall of shame entries, Joakim Noah.
Yeah.
Playing, obviously, with the Knicks now, coming over with Derrick Rose from the Bulls. Opening night in Cleveland. It's big. There's a World Series game going on at the same time. And so pregame, the Cavs have their championship ring ceremony for all their players. And Noah, Joakim Noah, refuses to leave the court and keeps shooting a warm-up shooting. Yeah, he keeps doing it even though, you know, this is going on. And it's, I don't know, it would be, I don't think I would have put him on the wall of shame if the Knicks had won. But I don't know. I don't know if this is just like.
I would have put him on overly, either way.
Just overly cocky and.
Well,
or just kind of poor sportsmanship?
It's
or,
disrespectful is what it is. I mean, Joakim Noah's probably ticked that he's never going to get a ring. And so, you know, it's ridiculous, though. If someone's, like, they're doing the championship ceremony from the year before, like, why would you keep shooting? Like,
well,
would you want
the
someone
team
to do that
were,
to you?
Well, yeah, especially when the team you were on last year, the Bulls, didn't even make any noise.
Yeah.
You know?
They were not very good. And you know, I did want to mention, because when you said he went over with Derrick Rose to the Knicks, I want to say he didn't want him to lose alone.
Yeah.
You know, they wanted to lose together.
Friends don't let other friends lose by themselves.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, it's disrespectful to do that because, you know, they worked really hard to get that achievement, to get that championship. And for you to just keep shooting while they're doing the ceremony, that's ridiculous.
Well, and especially like how
and I don't know if he got fined or not, but I hope that he did.
Yeah, I mean, and besides, it's like it's not only a championship for Cleveland, which is its first NBA title, I believe.
It is.
Yeah, and then also led by an elite player in LeBron James. You know, a future Hall of Famer. So it's like, you know, just let them have their ceremony, you know, because clearly they deserved it. And I know, even with all their new players, I don't know how good the Knicks will be in the end with just their injury prone and aging players. But
yeah, they honestly, I don't think they're going to be very good. They'll probably make it to the playoffs. But I think they'd get bounced out in the first round and probably even swept because they have some decent players, but they're also has-beens and over the hill and past when they're going to be as effective as they're going to get paid to be. And so, I mean, this is something that the Knicks always do is they always overpay for talent that is, like, washed up. So
plus, they were, like, at least in New York, they were pretty hyped up.
They're always hyped up, and they're not very good.
Season. And so I mean, if they don't do anything.
Derrick Rose called them a super team. Like, why would you ever say that? Because you guys haven't proven anything. And you, Derrick Rose, have not been good since you injured yourself, like, 5 years ago. Like,
and
you've
keep
not
injuring
been very good.
Yourself.
Yeah. And so, I mean, for you to go out there and say, yeah, we're a super team, it's ridiculous. You got Carmelo Anthony as your best player, and he doesn't know how to play defense. You got yourself who... You know, I don't know that you. I mean, you're okay defensively, but you're not like great. But you're probably not even going to be on the field for half the season because you're going to get injured. You got Joakim Noah, another situation where he's coming off an injury. He's probably not going to be as effective, and even as it is offensively, not that good most of the time. And you do have Porzingis, who was pretty good last year, but maybe he was benefiting from being the only viable option on the team. I don't know. We'll see, but. Like I said, I think that they can make the playoffs because it's the East, but I just don't see them doing anything if they get there. So, yeah. just ridiculous.
Yeah. So, yeah, that is my wall of shame group for today. So
group.
My group of wall of shamers.
My wall of shame is, as we mentioned earlier, the tie between the Seahawks and the Cardinals.
I don't even remember the last...
There was a tie a few years ago,
Okay.
But it's been a minute. Actually, I think the Panthers tied 2 years ago with someone. It says they ended up finishing the season 6-9-1, somehow made the playoffs still in a terrible division. That apparently isn't going to happen this year because they've been bad, and the Falcons have played pretty well. So I don't foresee that happening. It's technically possible. I just don't see it happening, but I guess we'll see. But either way, Seahawks, Arizona, primetime football, Sunday night. You go into overtime 3-3. In overtime, both teams make a field goal because of the rule where you know the first team has to score a touchdown or get a safety on the other team for the game to be over. So it's not completely sudden death anymore. So... If you kick a field goal, the other team has a chance to score as well. And so both teams end up kicking a field goal in overtime. And then they go along. And then at the end of overtime, well, with about 3 minutes something left, the Cardinals kick a field goal, you know, for the win. And it bounces off the upright. And then they turn it around and let Seattle make it down the other end of the field with just like a few seconds left. And they kick a field goal and just... Hauschka shanked the heck out of that thing. Like, it was way left, and it was just awful. And those were both, like, point-blank range. They were, like, extra points, shorter than extra points, and they were kicking these, and they couldn't make it. And it was just ridiculous. So after after the first miss, when the Cardinals missed, I was like, I tweeted out, we might have a tie tonight. And then it come down, and I was like, okay, maybe the Seahawks will win it.
Nope. You were right.
And then I tweeted after that, worst game ever. Because it was awful. It was just ugly. I mean, neither offense was doing much of anything.
Well, it's like after four quarters plus overtime, only 6 points each.
Yeah.
Like, there's bad teams that score more than 6 points a game.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous. The Browns have scored more than six every game this year. That's how bad it is. Honestly, I mean, I'm going to double check that because maybe they were less than
it against the Patriots. It adds to just the disappointing season, at least that the Cardinals have had. Because, I mean, maybe they weren't going to be, I don't know about Super Bowl contenders, but they were at least I predicted them to be good.
Well, I mean, they were supposed to be.
Yeah, and it's just turned into just disappointment after disappointment.
Disappointment.
Yeah, it piles up.
But yeah, okay, so to tell you how bad this is, the Browns scored 7 in their worst performance. And that, I guess that was the preseason, so that actually doesn't count. They scored 10 in their first game. Then they scored 20 in their second one, 24 in their third, 20 in their fourth, 13 in their fifth, and 26 in their sixth, and 17 in their seventh. So they haven't even...
So they could have gotten their first victory if this was them.
They've almost at least doubled that point total every time. The Browns could have won that game. That's how bad this game was. So
Shame.
Shame on both of those teams for being so bad that game. I mean, we can go with the route that both defenses were really good, and they did play well, but come on.
Even a halfway decent offense, yeah, even with a good defense opposing it, is, I feel, still going to make more points than that.
I mean, yeah, like in the Super Bowl, the Panthers still got 10 points on the Broncos, even though they were getting destroyed the entire game. They still got 10 points out of it. So you can't even get a touchdown. Not one. That's just sad. So Wallace, shame for you.
Absolutely.
Man, things are going so great. I don't even think they could be any better.
There's no way we can screw this up.
Not even us.
Or can we?
It's doomsday time.
Doomsday scenarios left and right. So, I just want to remind everyone that, was it our first doomsday that we did doomsday the Cubs?
Yeah, that was our first one.
I want to remind everyone how that went down. Long story short, the Cubs are up 3-0 in the bottom of the ninth in Game 7 of the World Series, and Jake Arrieta is pitching a perfect game. He proceeds to give up a single and two walks to load the bases, and then gives up a grand slam to lose the World Series in the bottom of the ninth of Game 7. That was the prediction, and surprisingly, as it lines up, he's scheduled to be the Game 7 pitcher. So I don't know, Evan. I'm sure you're desperately hoping that we were wrong.
Stomach is turning.
But you know, if we're getting to Game 7, like that's all you're going to be thinking about if Arrieta's pitching. That's all you're going to be thinking about. Don't do it. Don't do it, Arrieta.
Just don't do it.
That being said, we're going to do a doomsday for a Mountain West football team. And that, of course, would be the number 13 Boise State Broncos. So Boise State has had a great season so far. They haven't lost yet. As much as they tried to last week against BYU, they have not lost. But seriously, they were trying to give away that game, hands down. But they didn't.
Yeah.
They were able to win by 1 point. I want to bring this up because it was just so funny about how many turnovers they had. But yeah, so they... I got to pull this up because it's funny. So they had 5 turnovers, 3 fumbles lost, and 2 interceptions. And at least one of those interceptions was returned for a touchdown. For some reason, I'm feeling like both were. But I know at least one was because I remember it for sure. But it was just ridiculous. Hold on. So there was 2 touchdowns by the defense for BYU. They were both pick sixes. Both of the interceptions were pick sixes. So I was right about that. And so, honestly, Boise was trying to give the game away, and BYU just was like, no, 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 no. We don't want it. We don't want it. We don't want it. I mean, also, I should have put this in the wall of shame earlier, but BYU goes in the wall of shame because who runs a fake punt from their own end zone?
They do, apparently.
On like a 4th and 18 from their own end zone is where the punter caught it, and he takes it and then starts running, and it's like, what are you guys doing? There's no way you're going to convert that.
And they didn't.
No, they didn't. Got tackled at like the 4-yard line. I forgot about this until just now, so this is also a wall of shame entry.
Wow.
BYU football, wall of shame for A, winning the turnover margin 5-0. And losing the game. Also, for running a fake punt from your own end zone. The stupidity abounds. That's all I gotta say. I mean,
that's like just some stupid crap you try in Madden or something, you know?
Yeah,
like
in Madden, not in real life. Like, not against a ranked team. A team that hasn't lost on their home. I mean, actually, I can't justify that in any situation. Not from your own end zone. Because if you're, like, catching it in your own end zone, odds are you're not close to a first down.
Well, plus, it's like there's always the off chance that you punt it and the receiver drops it and you at least can try to get it back. Like, there's always that option. And even that is probably a safer bet than thinking that you can – come back from 4-18 from your own end zone.
So dumb. So dumb. But anyway, this isn't about BYU.
Yeah, yeah.
This is about Boise State. So Boise State currently is 13-0. Or not 13-0. Ranked 13, they're 7-0. That's a big difference.
Yeah.
But they're going to be going for 13-0. That's what they want. And if they do, they'll probably try to make an argument that they should be in the playoff, whatever. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, we're going to say... Going to do this kind of rapidly so that we can get on to our main event, but we're going to say this week they take on Wyoming. We're going to say they win that one. They beat San Jose State next week, and then they beat Hawaii the week after, even though that's in Hawaii, so that's going to suck for them. And then they take on UNLV. They'll beat them. And then the last week of the season, they're going to take on Air Force, and we'll say that they beat them too. We'll say they go undefeated in the regular season.
Okay.
Well, then... they're going to go to the conference championship against San Diego State, barring something strange happening. You know, San Diego State is the better of – or the best in the West division. I didn't anticipate that was going to rhyme. I mean, I wasn't going for that, but it did.
So deal with it, world.
So deal with it. No. But, yeah, so San Diego State currently 6-1, and we'll say – I'm just gonna go ahead and say that we win this weekend. Smart money's on San Diego State. I realistically think that they'll win.
Spread's not too
surprisingly bad. That spread isn't a lot, but we'll talk about that more in a minute. But we'll say that we win that one. So they drop to 6-2. I'm gonna just quickly go through the rest of their schedule. I don't see them losing any of those other games, except maybe to Wyoming because they've been surprisingly good this year. But we'll say that they finish out and go 10-2. And in the Mountain West Championship, you know, as Boise's trying to make their case to be in the playoff, they get beat. And not just beat, but beat badly. And this is going to be at Boise State because they'll have the better record. And so on the Smurf turf, they lose bad. We'll say that they lose by 21 points. Just bad.
Jeez.
And so then they don't make it to that, and they also get bumped out of New Year's Six bowls because...
Well, you got lost by 21 in a conference championship.
So they do that, and so then they end up playing in the... We'll just say... We'll just throw them way down and say that they have to... They play their bowl game at home at the famous Idaho Potato Bowl. And they lose there, too. So let's say they lose their last three games.
Wow.
Doom indeed, I think.
You go from number 13.
And we'll say that by the end of the season, they get up to, like, number 6. Okay? We'll say that.
So from number 6 to losing the famous Idaho Potato Bowl.
At home.
At home. Ouch. That would hurt. That's like panic mode collapse right there.
Yeah, and...
Because, I mean, you look at some of those games, though, with Boise State. It wasn't that far off from being a loss. I mean, obviously BYU was 1 point, and
even honestly, if we had played halfway decent on offense, we should have won against them. So in
there's
that game.
There's a few of those games that they probably could have lost given better circumstances.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think that's very true. So, yeah, Boise State gonna lose 3 games in a row to end the season. Actually, no, 2 games, just 2 games.
But it's the 2 games that really
matter. That matter most, yeah. The conference championship and the bowl game. Probably the most important games of the season. Especially if you went undefeated up to that point. So, yeah, that is our brief doomsday. Next week, we might be doing one for college basketball, but we might push it to the week after, depending on just kind of stuff that's going on. But anyway, that was doomsday.
Ready or not, here comes the main event.
It's go time.
Today's main event is going to heavily involve the World Series. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Evan. Because this is both his love and his hate. Because he's the most discontent panda ever during the World Series.
I'm going to get a jersey with Discontent Panda on the back.
You should. You honestly should.
It should be a Cubs jersey. Discontent Panda. But yeah, so after disappointing game one, at least for me being a Cubs fan. So I'll just say it was a 6-0 loss and it was terrible. And
I'll just say what happened exactly instead of, you know, making it sound like it didn't happen like that.
Yeah, so we will we'll ignore that game now and go to game 2.
I won't ignore it. You just won't be happy
because
it's
closer to the present. So we're gonna go with the closest.
It's more recent and therefore it's better.
Yeah, it's way more relevant now.
I had to talk Evan off of a ledge after game 1. Hey man, you don't need an angry post on Facebook right now.
I was gonna jump in full Cubs gear.
Regalia is what regalia. You should have said. In full Cubs regalia.
Regalia.
No, I mean, but I texted him. I was like, "Are you gonna rant on Facebook or something like that?"
And yeah, it's
like I'm thinking about it. I was like, "Don't do it, don't do it." It's only game 1. And lo and behold, game 2, the Cubs win.
Totally different story, which I am glad you talked me out of a rant because that just, I would have looked pessimistic and dumb, apparently, for the second game. But second game, totally different story. Jake Arrieta had a great night, 5 1/3 hitless innings.
Game 7.
If it gets to game 7.
Game 7.
So, so didn't allow it. Even a hit until the 6th inning, which is, you know, the kind of performance that he has really needed since the second half of the season started. Kyle Schwarber coming back from knee injury and a brief game in the Arizona Fall League. And I don't know if you're trying to want to say some add to that or.
No, this is something I'm looking at on my phone. It's super funny, so I'm trying not to laugh.
Okay. Anyway, but Kyle Schwarber comes in, gets some runs for the Cubs. He had, like I said, been injured for a long time. And so to immediately come back and have an impact is bring in some offensive power I think the Cubs have needed this postseason. But the Cubs' offense in general really wearing down Cleveland's pitching staff, at least that night, by taking 196 pitches. So they really drove up the pitch count. They wore down Cleveland's guys on the mound, so that's exactly what they needed to do. And they won 5-1 in fashion that they should have been playing all along. But
yeah,
good time to start,
I guess. Honestly, in game 1, they had some spots that If they had just been slightly better, yeah. it would have been a huge, completely different story.
Yeah, I mean, there were and guys so in scoring position.
It's not like they just got shut out, like, in the sense that they weren't even close to getting a run.
Yeah.
They came close a couple times, and obviously didn't capitalize, but I yeah. still saw that. I mean, they're right on the cusp, so don't get too antsy there, Evan.
Yeah, I will try not to, but, yeah, so totally different story for game two. Game two is the kind of game that they're going to need to keep playing. So,
yeah, like they definitely want to do that. And, hey, the first game for a World Series in Wrigley Stadium in over 100 years.
Well, since 45.
Since 45.
Yeah. It's almost 100 years, 71-ish.
I thought they hadn't even gotten to the World Series since
they
won.
No, they got to like a bunch of them after 1908. They just lost all of them.
All of them.
So, but I don't know if they keep.
But I guess for the first time in over 50 yeah. years, then over 60, no, 70, over 70 years.
So I don't know if they keep having nights like last night.
They should be fine.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Kluber is a great pitcher. And so I think if they can just keep it from going to seven games
I'd
and
say
still
the,
win.
The biggest thing about Kluber is his name is pretty cool.
Kluber.
Yeah, so that would I would say that is his biggest strength. Is his name.
It helps his windup somehow.
It does. Like, I mean, that's one of the main components of being a pitcher.
Is he gets on the mound, winds up, and then he's like, Kluber, as he's throwing. He whispers his own name. Kluber.
Yeah, no, so. I wouldn't. I feel like that's something that the fans would do. Like, as he's, like, winding up. Kluber. But I'm assuming they don't, or you would have said it.
Yeah. I don't
know. I didn't have the sound on in either of the first two games.
I don't think they do.
Actually, I didn't watch game two because I was working. But game one, I watched a bunch of it, but I had the sound down because I was watching something on the other screen too, or playing something. I don't know what it was doing exactly, but either way, the sound was down, so I wouldn't have been able to hear that anyway. But that would actually be pretty cool.
Yeah. So,
that's moving on,
where the World Series is now.
Yeah. Moving on. NBA is upon us, and I just want to briefly. I'm kind of going to put you on the spot on this one. Who is your pick for both the Western Conference Finals and the Eastern Conference Finals, and who will win it all?
Western Conference, San Antonio.
But like in the finals, who are they playing against?
Oh, I would say they probably play Golden State.
Yeah,
and I
would
win.
Agree with that.
And then in the East, I think it's Cavs and. I don't know, maybe Toronto again, if they get that far. I don't know if I would like to see the Bulls gel with Dwayne Wade.
Yeah,
enough.
Right. Yeah, right. Get real.
But, so that's what I think the finals are with. I think the Cavs winning it again. So.
Winning. Nope. Oh, you no. mean the Eastern Conference
Finals. Yeah, the Eastern Conference Finals.
So and then for the finals.
I think San Antonio. Well, I think it would be a seven-game series, but I think San Antonio could win.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. To me, the Cavs never come back from 3-1 against the Spurs. They just don't. Because the coaching by Greg Popovich is infinitely superior to that of Steve Kerr. And so he would have found a way to win even if what they were doing normally wasn't working. Steve Kerr didn't get that done. I would also have in the Western Conference Finals, the Spurs and the Warriors. And in the Eastern Conference, the Cavs against... Yeah, it's hard to pick that second team that you really, like, believe in.
I don't think they'll do much to challenge the Cavs, at least as it stands
I'll
now.
Just put the Pacers. I'm going to say the Pacers make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. But the Cavs win that easily. And then the finals, I also picked the Spurs over the Cavs because, you know, it's my team. I'm going to pick them.
Yeah.
Unless my team is awful, I'm going to pick them to win it all.
Yeah.
And even then, I still might. I mean, I picked the Broncos to win the Super Bowl and the Spurs to win the NBA Finals, and that would be awesome. It's too bad the Dodgers couldn't get it done against the Cubs, but I'm sure you don't mind.
I don't mind. I just need the Cubs to win now. But anyway.
But that's that. MVP.
MVP?
Like season MVP, not finals MVP. Yeah. It's hard not LeBron. To pick LeBron, right?
Yeah, I mean, LeBron and then maybe Anthony Davis if he keeps having nights like he did
in the first game. Yeah, I mean, he's a really good player, but I just don't think the team will be good enough for him to be the MVP.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of one of the things is, like, your team has to be one of the top teams.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, I mean, if your team's not one of the top teams in the conference that you're in, like, you're not going to win the MVP. It's just not going to happen. Yeah. I'm going to go with Kawhi Leonard because he is so good defensively. He's the best defender in the league. He's won the Defensive Player of the Year 2 times in a row. And he's also gotten better offensively each year. And so this year, I think he's going to be, you know, probably the best two-way player in the league. Now, pure skill, I mean, I can't put him past LeBron at this point. I hope he gets there, but there's no way I can put him past it. I don't think Steph Curry is deserving of MVP. I don't think Durant would be deserving of an MVP, either one of them, because A, they're playing with each other, and B, I just don't feel like they are good on both ends, and I think, unfortunately, a lot of times people look past the defensive side when it comes to voting for MVP, and I don't think that's necessarily right, but yeah, we'll see what happens, but I'm going to pick that, and I'm also going to go with Coach of the Year being Quinn Snyder, because I think the Jazz are going to take a huge leap forward, and they're going to be the fourth seed in the West, if not possibly the third seed, depending on how the Clippers play. But do you have a pick for Coach of the Year? Or do you know enough coaches to do that?
I'd like it to be Hoiberg just as a Bulls fan, but they would have to do a lot of improvement for that to happen. Which, I mean...
And the thing about it is, like, I feel like the Dwayne Wade experiment isn't going to work all that well.
Yeah.
Because you got two guys that are shooting guards trying to share the floor or whatever. I mean, they might make it work, but I just feel like the Bulls aren't going to be quite to the spot where they want to be. And then at the trade deadline, I think they'll trade him to the Cavs.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they also need some younger players to develop. But anyway.
Either way, all right. We'll say that Hoiberg wins for you just because I'm sure that's what you want.
Yeah.
I'd go with Popovich, but, I mean, people are expecting the Spurs to do well. So unless they, like, hit the first seed and win almost 70 games or something like that, I just feel like they'd go with someone who had their team improve drastically. But anyway, that's a brief NBA kind of preview, but we will try to get in more on the NBA next week. Moving on, we're going to do our picks for the week in the NFL. And it's a big week in the NFL, as all weeks are. But before we dive into them, how are we doing this season?
Well, so last week we have a tie. So, I mean, not our records, but we have a tie in the mix because of the Seattle game. So I went 8-6 and one tie, and you went 9-5 and one tie, which brings us to...
That's right. I won the week, man.
Yeah. And that means I'm sitting at 50-41 and a tie, and you're at 54-37 and a tie. So we're back to 4 games apart.
Yeah. We're going to have to talk about which ones that I totally was totally right about that were like the underdog picks. Like the Chargers was one.
Yeah, the Chargers. I don't know if the Colts were exactly an underdog, but you did get that one right.
Any other ones?
Miami over Buffalo. You got that. And Green Bay.
Yeah, that was another one of my underdog picks that was right.
Yeah, so... Yeah, that is that.
So. Awesome. So, tonight, the Titans host the Jaguars. The Jaguars.
Yeah, Titans keep disappointing me, but they're at home. And, I mean, they're only 3-point favorites, but I'm still going to give it to Tennessee. So.
Yeah, I'm going with Tennessee as well. I was hoping you would go with the Jaguars because you were like, Tennessee's been disappointing lately, so I'm not going to pick them. I was hoping you were going to say that, but you didn't.
I get this weird obsession with teams I think that should be doing better that I keep picking, like the Panthers. And it's just, no, you must win.
In London on Sunday, the Bengals take on the Redskins.
I'm going to give it to the Bengals. I think they're better than the Redskins.
I think so too. I'll go with that as well. Colts host the Chiefs.
I think the Chiefs win this. So the Colts are good, but I just think the Chiefs are that much better that they win.
The Colts are okay. I'm going to go with the Chiefs as well. Part of me wants to pick the Colts to be different, but I'm going to go with the Chiefs. You got the Buccaneers hosting the Raiders.
Raiders.
I'm going to go with the Bucks.
All right.
Change it up, and also they're at home, and the Raiders still are not great defensively. So I'm just going to go with the Bucks. Saints host the Seahawks.
I don't know after last week if I want to pick the Seahawks.
I'm with you.
I'll go with the Saints. At home, and I can't keep allowing the Seahawks to
wait,
to disappoint me.
You are going with the Seahawks? Or?
No, the Saints.
You're going with the Saints?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm going to go with the Seahawks then.
All right.
I was going to go with the Saints if you picked the Seahawks. Just because they're at home, so. There we go. Texans hosting the Lions.
I think the Lions win this. I don't think the Texans were as good as they were initially appearing. I think the Lions are slowly figuring it out, so I'm going to give it to Detroit.
Yeah, I'm going to give it to the Texans because they're at home. They've won every game at home. They've lost every game on the road. So I'm going to go with them because they're at home. And I just feel like they'll bounce back from last week. But, yeah, I would have picked the other way had you picked the Texans. The Browns are hosting the Jets.
Don't turn that dial, ladies and gentlemen.
We're going to have a barn burner here.
I think the Jets because they're the least bad of the two. So
I'm going to pick the Browns. I think this might be the one game that they can get, at least in the near future.
Yeah. That's
true. The Bills host the Patriots.
Patriots. I mean, I would like the Bills to win this, but I think the Patriots are just too good for the Bills.
Patriots are going to be out for blood. After losing at home to the Bills in week four, you know, Tom Brady's back. He's gonna take it to him. We got the Panthers hosting the Cardinals.
Oof. My two disappointment teams coming at me.
Right? Coming at you hard.
I'm going to give it to the Cardinals just because I've picked the Panthers too many times, and every time they keep just frustrating me.
I'm going with the Panthers. Now, the Panthers are at home. I think they'll start to turn it around and at least be a decent team this year. And I think that they'll do it. They've got Jonathan Stewart back, and Cam should be back, so I think they win. They've been really, really struggling with injuries, and I think they're more healthy now than they have been. And I just don't think the Cardinals are good enough offensively to really make that defense work as much as other teams have. So, yeah, I think the Panthers win. The Falcons host the Packers. Three-game losing streak two-game losing streak for the Falcons.
I still say the Falcons win this. Packers had a good game against the Bears last week, and I don't think...
It's bad when that you give that look of disgust when you see the Bears.
Yeah, I got to love them, but, I mean, Rodgers had a good game last week, but... Just you look at the trend, and it's not a promising trend. And I just think Atlanta with Matt Ryan is just better. So,
yeah, I'm going to go with the Falcons as well. I really think that Aaron Rodgers is really taking a step back this year, and I don't think he wins against a good team. Cowboys host the Eagles.
I see the Cowboys win this. They're at home, and... They've got a good rookie quarterback who's...
You fell into my trap.
My trap.
The Eagles are going to win. The Eagles have been pretty good. They had a couple of rough games there, but last week they really took it to the Vikings, who I thought would win that game, and they didn't. But, yeah, the Eagles pretty good defensively, and I think that they're going to get after the Cowboys' offense, and I think that they'll come out on top. Those teams always play each other tough, and it'll be a close game, but I think the Eagles win.
Yeah. Oh, I think we skipped over Chargers-Broncos.
Oh, yeah, we did. Just because, like, it was at later time, and usually I lead off with that, okay. And it shows up at the top of my list. But, yeah, okay. You are correct. Chargers-Broncos.
Broncos. I mean, Chargers have been surprising this year.
Yeah, in fact, I mean, they beat the Broncos 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, but...
to start their two-game losing streak.
But I think...
3 weeks ago, I guess.
Yeah, but I think the Broncos are obviously over their slump, and they're at home, so...
Yeah, I think so, too. They've got Kubiak back. I guess it was 2 weeks ago that they played them, and they lost on Thursday night. But they're coming back. They're going to play them. I think they're going to beat up the Chargers, get some revenge on them, because they were without their head coach, and I think that was the biggest reason why they lost, because they just never got in rhythm on offense, because they didn't have the right guy calling plays. I mean, the interim head coach was a special teams coach, so I really think that was the big reason why they lost. And plus, this is going to be in Denver, and they don't lose there very much. So, yeah, I'm going to go with them. Moving on to Monday night, the Bears host the Vikings.
I don't know. I think after the Bears hosting Jacksonville just a short time ago and not getting the job done, I really don't feel good about the Vikings coming to town. So, I don't know, even with that, the Vikings lost last week, I think that they're still on a roll. So, I'd love to give a fan pick, but smart money says the Vikings. So,
yeah, I would agree with that. I'm going with the Vikings as well. Quickly shifting gears over to local college. Utah State against San Diego State.
San Diego State.
Smart money is San Diego State. I'm going to go with Utah State anyway, just because it's a fan pick. And, I mean, I could see it happening. I don't think it will, because we have not showed that we have the it factor. But, yeah, I'm still going to pick us out of hope. Utah hosts Washington.
I think Washington comes out in the end.
Yeah, Washington's just too high-powered on offense and good on defense for them to not win this game, in my mind. And it looks like BYU has a bye week, so we don't have to worry about them.
So the bye wins. Bye wins.
BYU anyway. Won't lose this week, so that's it's a positive
they,
for
they
them.
They lose to the bye. That's what they...
But, yeah, so this has been The Bullpen. Thanks for tuning in. We are going to be on iTunes pretty soon, so that's exciting. So look out for that. We will tweet out about that. It's going to be good. So thanks for listening.
This has been another edition of the Bullpen Podcast on Aggie Radio.
Catch us on aggieradio.com and on Twitter @USUBullpen.